This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to a recording of a special Sunday morning service of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. Our featured speaker is Ishmael Woodard, who is a former prisoner of the State Correctional Institute at Hunlock Creek in Pennsylvania.
We welcome you this morning, and as we had announced, this is a commemoration of sorts of the 4 years of involvement of this church with the prison ministry at Hunlock Creek. We will open with a hymn which, though this is dedicated to prison ministry, though that is our focus this morning, it is centered on the exaltation of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the one who gives us true freedom. The hymn, please stand as we sing, 218, the first tune, hymn number 218. The prison ministry and the freedom now that Brother Ishmael is experiencing
is but a small matter compared to the total freedom, the true freedom that we have spiritually. Amen. Through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. And as we talk about the spiritual freedom, this is kind of along the same lines as our theme from last Saturday with the street preaching, the fourth gospel that we mentioned. If the Son shall set us free, we shall be free indeed, from John 8:36. And this is the same kind of application here, that though there is a lesser sense, the freedom from prison, freedom from sin, is the far more important thing, even as Christ arose from the dead and gained the victory over sin and death and hell. Please remain standing as we sing, Up from the Grave He Arose. 206.
Father, we thank You for this time this morning to exalt Your name, to give You the honor and glory for giving us the opportunity to hear Brother Ishmael recount his experience and his service to You within the walls of the prison. We thank You for his boldness and his testimony there, the way in which You used him for Your honor and glory to be a helper and a shepherd and a mentor to so many within the prison, to lead them in spiritual truth. We thank You for the wisdom, for the indwelling of Your Spirit that guides us and directs us. We pray that You would enable us this morning to focus upon Your Word, to apply it to our daily lives, that we might serve You as we ought. And we thank You for the liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ, in His name. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider the aspect of prison ministry and the experiences that Brother Ishmael has faced over over the past number of years. It is only God's amazing grace that and has enabled him to be sustained over these years with a false conviction and a miscarriage of justice. And yet he did not grumble, he did not complain. He submitted himself to seeking after a closer walk with the Lord and to be used in that place, even as Joseph, when he was falsely accused and falsely convicted, he set himself to doing the will of the Lord and enabling himself to be used of the Lord and thus raised up, even as Joseph, to a position of leadership, to a place of service and usefulness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 402. Consider prison ministry, the example, even as our Lord commended those who visited His people in prison, we did it even as unto Him. He regards it as done unto Him, even as we shall perhaps hear a little bit later this morning. We have to recognize the prisons are full of people, souls, and some are falsely convicted, some are there for the crimes which they have committed, and they're there for just punishment. But we also must recognize that before a holy and a righteous God, whether we have ever been in prison or not, we are sinners before a holy God. And we are only, even if we know Christ, we are only a sinner saved by grace. 698.
Right.
as we introduce you to Brother Ishmael Woodard, this prison ministry has been a journey of the last 4 years. Some of you know that it began with an inquiry, a request for a study Bible that came from Donald Love from the vicinity in the area here. And then after we had sent that study Bible to him while reading in the open room in the prison, Ishmael spotted the name on the Bible and he became curious. And I don't want to steal his thunder, but he inquired and corresponded with us, and that led to a series of letters exchanged, and we provided one of the Bibles to him. And over the next 4 years, through interaction with Ishmael and visiting with him and many other prisoners, we have corresponded now with 46 prisoners as a church, and it's not just myself, but Pastor Robbins and I believe Dan and perhaps several others have written to various ones of the prisoners there at Hunlock Creek over the years. 45 of the 46 have been at Hunlock Creek, and then a brother of one of those prisoners is a solid believer in Pittsburgh, and we've had some exchange with him as well. Nearly 40 prisoners have received Bibles, study Bibles, over the past 4 years. Some have used them very effectively. Some have passed them on to others. Some of you may remember Adam Gamble, who's now in Lebanon. He had received his Bible kind of as a hand-me-down from one who had requested the Bible and then didn't really use it himself, but he passed it on. Brother Ishmael has, over the years, done a very good job in terms of giving us some counsel as to who really wanted the Bibles and who was just seeking a book collection. And we appreciated that because of the stewardship issue, seeking to get the Bibles to those who were truly interested in using them and seeking to apply the Word of God in their own lives. So we do appreciate that effort on his part to kind of give us the inside look at some of these guys who were writing and sounding good perhaps on the face of it, and yet on a few occasions just really weren't truly interested in studying the Word of God. We've visited numerous times. Pastor Robbins and I and others have visited. Deb and the kids and I went down on a number of occasions on the way to here and there. We stopped in to see Ishmael and Jerome, who will be here tonight. The prison ministry has been a blessing to see the spiritual growth of many of these guys, to realize the power of God to work even from behind the prison walls. I don't think I'm going to go further on that right now, but you're going to hear how God has worked in the study groups, in the Bible studies that Ishmael was a leader of within the prison. And we're just happy to have him here. It'll be a time of blessing, I'm sure, for all of us to hear how God has led you and worked in your life and in the lives of Jerome Mitchell and Adam Gamble and Lou Ferrara and so many of the others that we've corresponded with over the past 4 years. Many of them are now out, some of whom we've heard from after they have been released. It was the sovereign working of God, I believe, that kind of opened the door for us to get involved, to be a part of supplying the Word of God. And we know that the Word shall not return void. And we've seen that time and time again, how God has marvelously worked to encourage those brothers from within the prison walls at Hunlock Creek. So with that, Brother Ishmael Woodard.
Again, I say good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we have rejoiced, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is truly an honor. It is a tremendous honor, really, to be here with you today. This has been a desire of my heart for many years, to worship in the midst of the saints and to stand shoulder to shoulder and hand in hand with one voice, and to honor our great God and King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hymns that was providentially chosen by the Lord tells the story, and there's not much more that I can add to that. I am was a lost sinner, but saved by grace. And I wasn't looking for Jesus by way of my testimony. I didn't know who he was. I was 30 years old before he revealed himself to me. I grew up in a family who, it was not a gospel family. It was a family of Muslims. My parents were devout Muslims. And I was born and raised into that type of environment. And I know it was but God's sovereign grace and His presence, unrevealed presence in my life then, that he kept me from absorbing much of what my dad was teaching and espousing those days as I was growing up. But 30 years later, just a sinner living according to the course of this world, God revealed himself to me in a very dramatic way. As I come to find out later, as the scales fell off of the eyes of Paul on the road to Damascus, that was my experience. That was my exact and literal experience. And light, whether engulfed the whole room or just my whole soul, but that is a literal and exact experience when the Lord chose to reveal himself to me. And I knew that my life had changed that moment. And I said, if there was anyone in the entire world I would want to be like, it is Jesus Christ. And I said it twice. And the very next day, the Lord had planted me in a local church. It was like the evangelist, Philip, who was sent to overtake the eunuch from Ethiopia. So the Lord had sent a brother, Tony Ciotti, to come to me and hear my testimony the very next morning and introduce me to his pastor. And it was in that way that I was planted. I didn't have to go, you know, to a church or anything. The Lord just did everything. You know, he did everything. This is, you know, all his work. I am all his work. But as a newborn baby who didn't know how to walk very well, I fell backwards a couple of times as I struggled to move forward in the life of Christ. And eventually, I, through some unforeseen circumstances, I found myself in prison. And when I found myself in prison, I was really afraid. I was afraid to be in that environment. That's not the kind of person I am. However, when the Lord brought me to my spiritual senses, I realized that I'm a lot worse than many of the people that were incarcerated in prison. For he made known to me that I had transgressed his laws, that I'd broken each and every of the Ten Commandments. And that after all that he did on my behalf in dying for me, how could I turn my back on him? And though I stand here before God, having spent 15 years in prison for a charge, an accusation that never took place. As an innocent man, I spent the 15 years, and I could have been released in 5 years had I but admitted to something that never took place. I chose to stand in my integrity and know that, you know, the Lord was going to work this all out. I was okay with that. I was okay with that because when the Lord brought me to my spiritual senses in that cell, I realized how much I owed him. And it was in that moment that I made a vow to him. It was about my first week in prison, toward the end of the first week, that I said if I should live to be 80, 90 years old, that I would serve him for the rest of my life. I didn't know our Heavenly Father, but I desired to know him. I desired to know him intimately. I desired to know him not like the world knows him or about him, but like a husband knows his wife and a wife knows his husband. I wanted to know the Lord intimately, and I began to pursue the knowledge of God. I began to seek the righteousness of God. And I guess, you know, it was just God's presence that just guided and ordered my steps. I started out as a babe in Christ. I had come to prison as a babe in Christ. And glory to God, I left a man of God. As I said, I just wanted nothing more. I have no greater joy than to be in his word and to share his word with others. I didn't study the scriptures those years and read his word, meditate on his word to be a preacher. I just wanted to know our Heavenly Father. I wanted to know the truth about myself and the truth about the world I live in, and to be an active participating member in his body. And so the thing, no freedom except in Christ. I like to share this, read John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Disciples of Christ, a disciple of Christ, my Lord, is, you know, what I am today. And I had a great desire to share what the Lord has shared with me, had given me with others. And so I began early on, or I should say the Lord began early on, to bring people to me. While I was in the county jail before coming upstate, there was a captain who had taken notice of me, and he came into my cell and sat down on the bed beside me. And he just began to talk about his lack of commitment to God and shared how he admired what I was doing. And, you know, and studying the word and working with the men in the county, he encouraged me to continue to do that. And that was inspiring to me. I said I entered prison as a babe in Christ, and I was doing the correspondence courses of basically fill in the blank. But I had a desire, because I saw myself as a sponge, a dry sponge, and I wanted to be cast into the ocean of God's presence, the ocean of knowing him, just the ocean of all that the Bible contains about him. And that was my desire. And I didn't want to stay in the shallow end of the pool. I wanted to go out into the deep ends. And I completed all of the correspondence courses that they, you know, I initially received through the mail. And there was a book by J.I. Packard on the table in the prison, in the day, in the prison day room. And that book's on the title of the book was Knowing God. And that got me, that led me in a direction of seeking a Bible college. And I'm pretty nervous here, so please bear with me. as I recount this. A Bible college, and so I began to take Bible college courses through distance education, and at the same time, I was taking another discipleship course through Mount Zion Bible Institute, and I just continued to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And during that time, men would come to me, and we would gather together, and we would study God's Word. And I found that this is what I really enjoy doing. I found that I received great joy in being able to take what the Lord has given me and share that with others. As I went out into the yard, I would take tracts with me and look for opportunities to engage the inmates in a discussion or conversation just to share the gospel with them, you know, as the Lord would lead me. It's just, I think this is what the Lord, you know, well, He ordered my steps, you know, and I was just a passenger along the way. What can I say? Other than I've met many fine brothers, Christian men, where I was at in the three prisons I was at. The first one was in Somerset, which I met a fellow named Donald Love. And he was a part of our study group there in the mid-90s, along with some other fellows. And I met Donald Love again later on at Hunlock Creek at retreat. And as Brother Rick mentioned, he had a Reformation Bible that caught my attention because I found that the Reformation, I've learned that the Reformation had it right when it comes to the doctrines of grace. And it perked my interest, and I inquired about it. And, well, one thing led to another. He said he, that his mother knew Pastor Robbins and that he would have to check to see if I could have the address to contact him, which I did. And I received a Bible from Pastor Robbins and just started corresponding like that. And before too long, I met Brother Rick. And we started writing back and forth, and I was telling him what we were doing in the church, in the jail, in the study groups. And he asked, how can he help? You know, how can we as a church help him, help me in the study group? And he sent, you know, provided small books for each of us as a study guide, and that was great. He provided Reformation study Bibles. And, you know, that was really, really great because other men would see this particular Bible and inquire about it. And and it just kept the momentum going. More and more men would enter the study group. The COs would try to break us up. The COs, there was about seven of us, and the COs would, you know, try to say, listen, you can't do this. This is to be in a chapel. You can't be in a day room. You cannot be in the yard having these kind of meetings like this. And I didn't back down. I told him, I said, this is perfectly okay that look around you. There's people playing cards and board games, and they're gathered in all kinds of groups and cliques. And yet here we are studying God's Word, you know, trying to move in the direction of a better attitude, a better behavior, better conduct and character. And here you want to dissemble us and allow these guys to gamble and to do their other things that they do in prison. And so he backed down a little bit, but did tell me that I needed to go see a higher authority, which I did. And by the grace of God, he says it is okay what we, you know, we're doing, but try to keep it down to a minimum size because we were growing. You know, it was three of us, Brother Jerome Mitchell, who you'll get to meet this evening, who I can't wait to see, and Lou Ferreira and Jerry Wise. The names are, you know, there's a lot of men that came and gone, but there were a core group of us. Besides myself, there was Jerome Mitchell, and one other brother, I can't recall his name now, but we were the core group, and we needed that, and I impressed among the brethren in the study group the importance of being there in the public, in the day room, in the yard, with our Bibles, studying our Bibles, because of the new men that's coming into the prison who have some acquaintance with Christ and may have lost their way and no doubt lost their way along life's road. And that if they see us out there in the day room, that they would be drawn to us, that the Spirit may lead them to us. But if we were not there together, we wouldn't be helping ourselves and wouldn't be helping our brethren and engaging the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I also impressed among the men in the study group the importance of being rooted and grounded in the local church. And it came out really strong with Jerome Mitchell, because many of the guys would wait until they were paroled and then with good intentions of seeking a church to fellowship with, but it would never be realized. And many of them we would find back in prison again. Jesus, our Lord, is the biggest and best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And life, you know, outside of Him is not worth living. There's a stark contrast in my life from the way I was to the way I am today. He's brought about a tremendous transformation in my life. And this is a blessing to be here with you today. You know, you're my family, my brothers, my sisters, my fathers, my mothers. You know, you're my family. And the church is my family. We have a great, great big family, for we have brothers and sisters in faraway places. We have them in China. We have them in Asia. We have them in Europe, in South America, in Australia. We have them throughout the ages, since our first parents, Adam and Eve, and since the Lord Jesus uttered those words, coming in the flesh and saying to the apostles, saying to the disciples, that I will build my church. Which church we are. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40, and change the focus from what was going on inside the prison with me and the study groups to how the Lord in His sovereign providence use you all, okay, to encourage us and to strengthen us by your prayers and by your giving. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you had done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And truly, you have been the arms, 50 that embrace, as well as myself, the men in the study group, by coming into prison and being with us and not keeping us at a distance or judging us, but just loving us. Your prayers have encouraged us, your correspondence, and especially the tapes that we received of the worship service here at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. The preaching from Pastor Robbins and Brother Rick have just showered us in the truth of God's word and taught us what we knew in our hearts, and to hear it confirmed through the preaching of the word. Truly, you are a godsend, and by God's providence, I am here today with you all. There are many men like myself in prison. Some are guilty for breaking the laws of our great country, of our land. And a few, like myself, have been unjustly convicted. But it's what we do with the time and what we do with the ministry of Jesus Christ that makes the difference in our own lives and in the lives of others. Had the children of Israel learned the lessons that the prophets were teaching them, they would not have been taken into captivity. Had Judah learned the lessons from the northern tribes, they would not have, years later, been taken into Babylonian captivity. They did not learn the lessons from their own personal failures or the failures of others, and they were taken into captivity. I had not learned lessons from my own personal life and doings, and I had not learned the lessons from the failures of others and made the proper corrections initially. But once the sovereign grace of our Lord come into my life, once the Holy Spirit took hold of me and brought me to my spiritual senses, I began to see, and I began to see what a desperate condition I was in, and that Jesus was the only answer. I began to see the destruction of the world, life on a broad road in the fast lane, which leads to destruction, was the life that I was in, but I am definitely afraid of re-entering and will not re-enter. I began to learn the lessons from the failures of others and made the proper adjustments, you know, in my own life, and began to impress upon the men in the study group to also see, you know, and to not assimilate themselves, you know, with worldly people, with behavior that is not conducive to Christ-centered conduct, conversation, and character. And I just lastly just like to I'd like to close with a passage from Matthew also in chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. This is very meaningful, this passage in particular. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I'd just like to read verse 33 one more time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has been true to his promise. He has been very true. I had no care of what I was going to do for a living. I had no concern about where I was going to live. I had one driving passion, and that's to live out the righteousness of God in me. I had one driving motivation, and that's to be an active participating member in the kingdom of God, to know him, to know what my role in it as his child, as his son, and just to live out of that knowledge, to live out of that truth, and to live according to the freedom wherewith he has set me free. And I have received through your gifts, you know, by my presence here with you today, a family. God has provided me. Brother Waltz has invited me to stay with him, and Brother Waltz and Deb and their family. And you know, God has just amazed me at how he fulfills his promises. Everything in the Word of God is true. We don't need to know too far ahead. We don't need to worry, because of his ever-abiding presence. It's always with us, no matter where we are. He's there with us, as he is here today, this morning. And with that, I close. Thank you.
There's more to the story. Come back tonight and you'll hear more of the details. We have been richly blessed by the correspondence with Brother Ishmael over the last 4 years, and enjoy the time that we have spent with him. He has now joined us this week, and he'll be with us for a couple of more weeks. We plan a little trip to the Creation Museum tomorrow. And then he'll be with us with the church here Wednesday night again, Lord willing, and throughout the month. In a couple of weeks, we'll also have the opportunity to meet Brother Perry Medlock out of Marianna, Florida. And he has taken Ishmael under his wing, so to speak, and he and his wife will be taking Ishmael to Florida as of the end of the month. So we wish him well, and we know that the Lord will bless that and open doors, even as he did, as you'll hear tonight, with Brother Jerome Mitchell. It was a fantastic series of events where the Lord opened the door for Jerome, and not only his two jobs, the apartment with a Christian landlady within walking distance of both jobs, and a very supportive local church. So God has richly blessed. And Ishmael, I think, thought he slipped there when he said that among the church there at Hunlock Creek, but that was the church for them, where God, you know, God has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And those, whether it was two or three in the Bible study, or whether it was seven or ten or whatever it was, They were his people. They were the manifestation in that local area. And Ishmael has been a significant leader to them. I think you had the opportunity to get an inkling of the influence that he has been on them, even from what he said this morning. But the word has gone forth at Hunlock Creek. And it's due to your generosity with the provision of the study Bibles, and it's through the Lord's use of men such as Ishmael to speak forth the truth and to stand for the truth. He has completed a course of study at Reformed Theological Seminary by correspondence, as well as his studies at Mount Zion in Pensacola, Florida. He also has completed the course of study in biblical eldership. Brother Ishmael does believe, as we believe, in the plurality of eldership. And I had the privilege of overseeing his progress and his completion of that course as well. So God has worked mightily, and we appreciate the opportunity to hear you speak the truth this morning, and look forward to more of your testimony and Brother Jerome tonight. As we recognize the sovereignty of God through the whole process, through all of the events of our lives, whether in prison or without outside the walls of a prison, we must recognize that if we fail to heed the word of God, if we allow ourselves to be carried along with the ways of the world, if we try to be of the world and not just in the world as we are placed, we must strive for holiness. We must seek the grace of God for sanctification and strength and deliverance. And even as we consider our closing hymn this morning, hymn number 717, please stand as we sing.
While we know the winds may blow, I
Ishmael mentioned his father for a time was a devout Muslim, but he didn't tell you, and I don't want to take too much away from tonight, perhaps, but he didn't tell you that he found out later that a good number of among the family of his father and his grandfather and I believe 12 brothers and sisters,
yes.
Most of them were very solid Christians. Some of them, many of them, even preachers. Of the men of the brothers of his grandfather were preachers. God does have his elect, and even though his father strayed into Islam, the sovereign purpose of God even prompted one of Ishmael's sisters to say that through his whole experience and what he has come out of, that there must have been a guardian angel watching over him. But in a real sense, God does have a sovereign hand, and he is faithful to his word. And though we in our sinful straying wander from it, he has brought Ishmael back to his truth.
Yes.
And we praise him for that. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.